This is Frank Zaleski, tape two. You were telling me about your wife's family. Now, what was her name?
Bessie Zaleski. Bessie Florence.
And what was her maiden name?
It was Stevenson.
Stevenson.
Yes.
And tell me about her family just a little bit.
Why, her dad came from Canada, just outside of Montreal, Canada. And he came out here when he was a teenager, in his late teens. And he loved ranching, so he got a job as a cowboy, and he kept working around until he was able to get a few cows, and he kept spread down a little bit more all the time. And they had the upper end of Dixie Canyon. You know where Dixie,
mm-hmm.
Heard of Dixie. The upper end of Dixie Canyon. And his brother had the lower part of the Dixie Canyon, Al Stevenson, which was my wife's uncle.
Was Al Stevenson.
Yeah.
And what was her father's name? I don't think we said his first name.
What? Bill Stevenson, William Stevenson.
Uh-huh.
And so then he kept ranching up in there, and he made about three or four trips. Made a couple trips down into Mexico with herds of cattle during the rough seasons that they had out here, you know, when there wasn't hardly any rain at all.
So he was taking them down there for more grazing?
For grazing, yeah. And then, uh-huh. and then one year, he cut down this all those cactus plants and ran it through a grinder and was able to save them that way.
Huh. Was it in the 30s when it got so dry? I know there was a couple of years that were big droughts.
Yeah, I think it was 30.
Uh-huh.
And my wife finished high school and she got married. And her husband worked in the smelter. And like I was saying, that in those days, the clear air wasn't clear anymore in the in those places. I mean, they didn't have no way of doing it.
Mm-hmm.
And he got this miner's consumption, and he died early in his early 32 years or so, 32 years old. And so then she came out to the ranch, and she was just like a tomboy. She'd drive a tractor or anything else, would help them pull the water column out of the well, or anything of that sort. And she'd ride right along with them, get up early in the morning and ride all day long, rounding up cattle or whatever. And they had a bunch of that lease country up in there, up at Dixie. And so then they had a chance of buying this ranch out here on Greenbush Draw. And I think that they had about a couple sections of deeded ground. And then I think there were about 8 or 10 sections, or better than that, of lease ground, state ground that they had.
Makes
so it was
a
pretty good spread.
Yeah.
Yeah. And they lived out there, and that's where I met Bessie.
How did you meet her?
Had a dance at the Fletcher's Roundup. Yeah.
Tell me about Fletcher's Roundup. I keep hearing that mentioned.
Well,
what was that like?
Well, it was close, and I liked to dance, so.
It was a bar and a
bar and a dance
hall.
Place.
Yes,
that's right.
Uh-huh. Yeah, I've heard my dad mention that before.
Yeah, and
where was it located?
It was located at the mouth of Carr Canyon.
Uh-huh.
It's called the Mesquite now.
Oh, is that right? That's the same place.
That's the same place, but they had made it a lot smaller than what it used to be.
I didn't know that was Fletcher's Roundup. It's now the Mesquite Tree, right?
Yeah, the Mesquite Tree now. That's right.
Huh.
Sure. And we got married. That's like I say that I start working out, and then after working up there at. The test site, where her folks get pretty old, and it was just the two of them. And, oh, he had one cowboy, I think. And her mother was, she had asthma. And she'd get sick awfully easily. And so I'd have to put my wife on a plane and let her come down here and take care of her until she got her back out of the hospital or whatever.
Yeah, I think it's expensive.
Yeah, and then I'd pick her up at the station and the terminal there in Las Vegas. And then it got to the point where she was getting sick more often. And she has a sister out here by the name of Mabel Clinton, was married to Joe Clinton.
Yeah.
Do you know him?
Well, I don't. My dad does. I've talked to her on the phone, is all. I don't really know her.
And so then they insisted that they sell the place. And because they couldn't get anyone to stay there with them, because my wife's mother was restricted to all get out, mm-hmm. and people would work for a month, 2 months, and then pull out. And then they bought a place down here on Santa Cruz Drive, in right back of the county yards there.
Uh-huh.
Right down to Nacogdoches Road. Yeah, so.
And so you moved back
back down here so she could take care of it. Yeah. Uh-huh. I quit the test site and moved on that. And I've got a sister in Warren.
Your older sister. You were going to tell me about gold that they found in Ash Canyon.
Yeah, and they found this nugget. And they brought it into the Miners Merchants Bank. So they just put it in the showcase. Just put it in there, and they had it in a showcase until I think if they changed, until Spencer Shattuck took over.
I didn't know there was gold up there in the Wachukas.
Oh, yeah, they found nuggets. They were placer mining like everything.
Huh.
Yeah,
that's interesting. I hadn't realized that. And then you were going to tell me about Johnson Addition in that area, since that's all gone now.
There used to be a beer garden there.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, the Ford distributing place had attended in Johnson Addition.
What is a beer garden, anyway?
Beer garden? Well, it was a bar that served beer, and they probably as close as I can remember, just probably a window that they sold it out, and they had this enclosure, just like a yard enclosure with tables on there, and they drank beer out in there.
That sounds nice. Sounds pleasant.
And that was in there. And then this is a good one. Dad bought a new Ford Model T truck from the Ford company, Ford dealership there in Johnson Addition. And it had the solid rubber wheels in back of those days. No high pressure tires, you know. Mm-hmm. And so Dad brings me in there one day to pay part of his bill or something there at the Ford. And it used to be Motsey and Bledsoe. Bledsoe and Motsey.
Uh-huh, that's right.
Motors. And
even back then it was, huh?
Oh, yeah. They both started. Bledsoe and Motsey started. And I gets out of the car, and there was a Model A Ford that was a 30 Model A that you could let the windshield down and let the top down on it. A roadster, one of these little
uh-huh.
roadsters. Pretty as all get out. Great big chrome headlights, And so I went over there and started looking at it. Just for curiosity's sake. And old Frank Bledsoe comes out there and he says, "Son, do you like this car?" I says, "It's a beauty," he said. And he says, "Well, listen, let's take a ride in it." And he asked my dad if he had time, and my dad says, that he had time to spend around. So my dad didn't go along. He stood there and looked around the shop. And so we gets in there, and I gets in there, and we drive down Douglas Road to that what is Grace's Corner, as they call it, or they used to call it, I can't think of it. But anyway, that he drove down there, and there was, they had some ground cleared off. And so he stops this Ballet Ford. He says, son, I want you to get around behind that wheel, and you can drive it back. And so I drove it back, and he says, do you like it? And I says, yeah. So he says, I said, it's a beauty. And he says, well, I'm going to get your dad to buy it for you. And it was during Depression. And my dad, so he says, well, your son likes this car, and why don't you buy it for him? And my dad says, I don't have any money. So then this Frank Bledsoe says, who's asking for any money anyway? You know, we know you're farmers, whatever, you're ranchers, whatever you sell your livestock, or you'll pay for it. So so Dad says, I don't know. And Frank Bledsoe says, well, listen, I'll tell you what I'll do. I'll let your son take this car out to the ranch and keep it for 10 days. So, of course, it grew on me every day, a little bit more.
Yeah, that was pretty clever of him, wasn't it?
So he bought it for me. And so so the last 2 years of high school, I drove it to school.
That was really nice.
Yeah.
It was, so then you were able to live it at home.
Yeah, then I was able to live it at home, that's right. And so I drove to high school. Hmm. And so then, did you remember the Shagden office that used to be in Johnson Addition, or heard them talk about it?
No, I haven't heard about it.
It was a great big brick building. And so they wanted to move this office, this building down Lowell. It was pretty close to that junction line there, and shaft. And so they got it all rigged up, and they had a track built for it with rollers on there, rollers on this track.
I didn't know you could move a brick building.
Why they put steel I-beams underneath the building. They raised it up, jacked it clear up. So you then sit it down on these I-beams, and it's just like sitting on solid surface, and they get big enough I-beams to set these buildings on. And so then in those days, the Caterpillar tractors had the starting motor in back of them, where they'd start this little starting motor to start the big motor. So you start the starting motor and ribs it up, because it was run by gas.
Huh, I never heard of that either.
And this big motor was driven by diesel fuel. And so they'd just start the starting motor and pull the lever on the hoist, and I think it took it about a week or 10 days to move it from Johnson Addition down to Lowell. I mean, across, they didn't have a pit then, that Lavender pit. They went right across country there. They just only had that Sacramento pit. And
which was a lot littler, wasn't it?
Oh, yes, it was a lot smaller.
Much littler.
Yes. And so they moved that on down there without cracking a wall or anything. The whole building.
That's amazing.
It is amazing.
But is it still there? I mean, then what happened to it?
No, I don't know. It was torn down later.
That's amazing they could move something like that.
Yeah.
Did they move most of the buildings out of there before they made the pit?
Yes, they did. In fact, there used to be the Corbett Garage down there. It was dealership for the Packard. Hmm. And Packard used to be the top car in those days, way back down the line.
Mm-hmm. I've heard of Packards.
And so this Corbett had the Packard agency, and the Arizona Freight and Storage Company had one end of it. And they had a great big all storage building there, warehouse. And it It was about probably 40 feet wide by about 100 feet in length, made out of corrugated iron. And so, like I say, that one end of it was this freight company, mm-hmm. and the other end was this Corbus Garage. So when they had agreed on starting this lavender pit, well, they were selling those buildings for little to nothing. And so Dad got this building from Phillips Dodge for little to nothing. And so we had to come to town here to tear it down. So shoot, we had lumber and sheet metal until heck wouldn't have it out there at the ranch.
Boy, that was great.
It was great, yeah. And Dad had a couple of boys helping us. And every day on this, on the side of the hill up there, why they'd fire a shot at about 3 o'clock, you know, there's a bunch of that rock and stuff. And we'd crawl underneath the deck on this, on that freight outfit, Arizona Freight, because they had all 3x12 plank on the, as a floor, you know, sit on post about so mm-hmm. high. I, with the height of their trucks, beds, you know, so they could roll it right off. And one of these happened to be a miner and that I, Dad had hired. And so this party, one of the PD officials would come by and said, well, listen, you boys better take cover because we're going to fire a shot up there.
They were blasting?
They're blasting, yes. And for the rock, because rock would scatter all over the highway and everything else on the road. And so they would fire the shot. And so this one time, I thought, the old boy says, well, he's just going to get behind this corrugated wall. And it's got these studs about this far apart for the wall. And so he was sitting there, and there was a boulder about so big around. Flew through the air and hit the top part of this piece of corrugated iron and bent in about 4 feet right over top of it. Wow. And boy, after that, he went for cover.
That was too close a call.
He went for cover, yeah, he did.
Made an impression.
Yeah, he didn't want any more of that. He says, those boys were right when they said you'd take cover.
Tell me what you were telling me before about the saw blade up there where they were cutting wood. So we'll have it on our tape.
Yeah. This was about a quart of this blackjack oak wood that they were going to saw to stove length. And all about 3/4 of Bisbee, I guess, was wood stove burners in these houses.
And, did they bring it out of the Wachukas?
Yeah, bring it out of the Wachukas. And so they were sawing this on, with this table saw and powered by this automobile motor that was, came off the hind wheel of the tire. And it was making at least 1,500 revolutions per minute, probably more. And this saw blade came off the mandrel. That's that shaft that the belt goes on that turns this thing. And it came off the hill. And it dropped down on the street. And it was going in the right direction, you know, I mean, streetwise, not backwards.
Uh-huh.
So it had the momentum. And it bounced from one side of the street to the other, hit different buildings. And it went through the awning at the Bullworth, and then it dodged across the street. It either hit the fire plug there or the sidewalk, and it threw this blade clear up to the second story of the PD building. And that was it.
And nobody was hurt.
Nobody
That's
was
amazing.
Hurt. Yeah, it happened to be a Saturday morning early or Sunday morning early. There wasn't anyone on the streets. Nobody, no one was hurt.
Were you helping cut the wood?
No,
you
no.
just saw this all?
I just heard the story about
heard the story. That's something that happened. Nobody was hurt.
Yes. I mean, but Well, our purse could be kept right square to it.
Yeah, that's right. All that way down.
Yeah, so that's about all of it, huh?
Can you think of anything else you want to mention?
Listen, there was a couple cars, railroad cars, parked over here at the PD warehouse. And kids would like to play around on these cars. They took the brakes off the cars. And the cars rolled down the street, down the tracks. And there was a dinky coming up from Lowell, coming up with two or three more cars. And right there at the bottom of the psyched up hill, they met. And of course, these cars had developed quite a bit of speed in that distance. And so the dinky went about halfway in this first boxcar. And I heard the story that they said that there was train crew was on the cattle guard of the dinky, and he wasn't able to jump off fast enough and cut both of his legs off, but he lived to it.
Why?
Yeah. So.
Oh, because the kids playing around.
Oh, sure, kids playing around.
Yeah.
And then another one was that I don't know where these other bunch of cars, two or three of cars, came off, and they had this track going down to Bisbee Junction, and they had a Wyatt Bisbee Junction, like this. So they'd go either to Douglas or out toward Benson. Well, and they had that road there, and this is a story, of course, but there was this party that was going down this road, and he saw these cars, box cars, going like everything, going down that track. So he just wanted to check, just for the fun of it, of the speed that these box cars were going. And there wasn't hardly any traffic in those days. Shoot, if you've seen a couple of cars on that road a day, why, you were lucky. He stepped it up, and he stepped up to 90 miles an hour that these cars were doing going down the tracks. And of course, when they came to that Y, that was the end of the boxcars. They left the tracks and turned over a couple times, I guess.
Boy, 90, that's something.
Yeah, he said they were doing 90 miles an hour. He was doing 90 miles an hour with his car tracking it.
Jumped the track, huh?
Boy, that's some kind of speed.
Yeah, it's lucky nobody was hurt in that.
Yeah. Well, that's about all of it.
Okay, well, I sure appreciate you doing this for us. I'll turn this off now.